Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It takes me a few extra minutes here. I'm like, I need octopus arms. I always used to joke, Phil Kennedy, you know, he needed like 6 extra pairs of arms. So does Pasquale Maggiore. In fact, if humans evolve, if Pasquale does this job long enough working on this program, I think that evolutionarily speaking, any future offspring Pasquale has will have 8 arms. Or maybe you start out with 4 and then it goes to 8. Of course, then again, if your kids are getting the Pfizer or your vaccine at the age of 12, you might have that as a special benefit anyway. I mean, you never know. How could you know? They haven't had it out long enough. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. I got a lot of positive feedback on what we did yesterday, which is really, really outstanding considering I don't really remember what we do on a daily basis. I just do it. One thing, okay, there's 2 things that at some point I'd like to bring up as topics. I don't know when or how it's actually going to happen, but we need to do a show on COVID weight gain. All right, COVID weight gain. I ran into a guy last week, actually in West Seneca, and he is as thin and as in shape as he has ever been. And I talked to him and I wanted to ask him, how have you kept off the weight? But I never had a chance to ask him because we were busy having fun. And then I know other people, like, I don't know, maybe certain people of the French Onion Soup Society, and we complain about the various weight gains that we've experienced. I think I put on, like, the COVID 40 or the COVID 50. It's bad. I'm embarrassed. I'm absolutely embarrassed beyond words. So we might have to do that at some point. I'm just saying. Also, let's see. Oh, I told you about going through sports cards. Guys, I am privileged to work in the same building as the great Mike Shope, talk show host, sports talk down the hall at WGR Sports Radio 550. And it turns out that it's a good thing I have a safe deposit box because I actually have some cards that are worth some green. I was going to throw the damn things out, and then I made a list, and Shope went through the list. I had somebody else go through the list, and it's like, a Terry Bradshaw rookie card? I had no idea. I had no idea. But anyway, it is, you know, it's like any other collectible, okay? I don't know if you collected Beanie Babies or whatever, thinking that was going to be your retirement treasure trove, but collectibles are a very interesting thing because a lot of what the value of a collectible is in what condition is it? And the more mint, the more pristine the condition, the better price you will command. Also, has it been professionally graded? Now, I had read online, and I don't know if this is true. I'd best ask Mr. Mensa down the hall. I say that with love. I don't know if this is true, but did the professional card grading service go out of business? Or did it just shut down because they were overflowing with stuff and they put a pause on it? Okay, yeah. I don't think it's worth the insurance and the cost to have these things professionally graded. Maybe. But I looked up Terry Bradshaw rookie card, and I'm thinking to myself, no way am I going to get that kind of money for this card, no matter what shape it is in. I mean, you got people asking like 60 grand for this card. It's a card. So it depends on the condition, and it also depends on the market. Who wants to buy it? Who wants to buy it? And with that in mind, now that I've made my NFL list up, including Bart Starr, Nitschke, Gale Sayers, and I never really played with the cards, so they're in mint shape, and they're, you know, secreted away in a bank. And just in case, I mean, one never knows these things. So, I don't know. It's just, it's wild. Because these cards don't mean anything to me. I'm decluttering the house. If I can convert them into something else, I'll convert them into something else. But anyway, yeah, sports card collecting. I know it's a big deal. And I know that with your stimulus money, many of you are buying things you never thought you'd buy before ever. In fact, Pasquale, I often wonder why Pasquale's even working. He should be at home taking it easy, kicking his feet up, relaxing, unwinding. But anyway, thanks for the fine program yesterday. Rockets are being fired at Israel as we speak. I don't remember when Donald Trump was president. He was actually president for 4 years. I know the media are trying to erase that, like the Soviets erased guys like Yezhov from the old Soviet Union. I know that Donald Trump was never president of the USA, but I don't remember Hamas doing this when Donald Trump was in office. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris project a very weak front, but dot, dot, dot. Something else. And I was so happy to hear Lauren Fix. Lauren Fix is, she's a very, very smart lady, okay? And she was talking about this push to get all of us into electric cars. And what have I been saying? Okay, first of all, understand, I'm not a car guy, okay? I do like my fancy cars. I'm not going to lie. It's my one indulgence in life. Not going to apologize for it. I like nice cars. Always have. Fast ones. German ones. The kind that James Dean died in. That's what I like. If I'm going to die in a car crash, let it be in a Porsche. At least it's in the obit. But anyway, maybe the Eagles will write a song about me. Anyway, I'm just being silly now. But the long and the short of it is these electric vehicles. Ladies and gentlemen, why with a gasoline, first of all, let's just talk about gasoline for a moment. Does anybody else remember the article that came out, 10 days ago about the looming shortage of gasoline? Because there aren't enough truck drivers, and the truck driver schools haven't been open because of COVID. So as the old people step out of it, the new people aren't ready to step in. And in addition, if you're hauling a load like petroleum, you need a special advanced certification to do that. So they already started prepping us for the coming gas shortage of the summer, which never happened when Trump was president, by the way. And now the mystery cyber attack from points unknown, possibly Russia, possibly Eastern Europe, putting, again, the idea of shortages in our mind. May I remind you that Donald Trump, President of the United States, the orange monster that he was, he topped off our strategic petroleum reserve when they were giving oil away. I hope you guys remember that, because he did. But of course, I realize that most media believe he was the worst president of all time. You know, I felt a lot more secure and like the world was a lot more in one piece when Donald Trump was in office than I do right now. I think we're being led by a bobblehead one and bobblehead two in the White House. Sorry, just my opinion. And you know, let me just get this straight. There's an opinion piece somewhere. It doesn't matter where. Joe Biden's off to the best start of any recent American president. And my BS meter went off the chart. Let's just get this right. We have a crisis at the border. COVID is still around. Schools are still largely closed in terms of full-time in-person learning. Israel is being hammered by rockets, and we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden is the best new president we've had in our lifetimes. It is utter horse hockey. Bollocks. Bollocks. I mean, I detest the media and its propaganda machine and the information control checkpoints of Facebook and Twitter. They are no better than Lenin taking over, not John Lenin, but Vladimir, the head of the Bolsheviki in Russia. He knew. And folks, I say this all the time because most of you do not know history. And I don't blame you because most of you had lousy history teachers and you couldn't care less about history. I'm not an expert in history. Nobody is an expert in history. You know why? Because there's like 50,000 years and a whole bunch of different places on which you'd have to be an expert. I know some things about some things, okay? And one of the things I do know is that when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, Lenin understood you took over the communications, you took over the transportation. Now, he did telephone and telegraph lines and trains. That's how the Bolsheviks isolated places. Those of you from Ukraine, you probably have stories about your great-grandparents being starved to death by the Bolsheviks, those great champions of the workers who went in and appropriated Ukrainian grain to send to Moscow and then put the farmers in barges in the river and sank the barges. Such is communism, you know, that great egalitarian state. I hate those bastards. I hate communists. But that's another story, I guess, for a different day. I have a lot of stories for different days. Those days never seem to come. But, you know, what I see happening in the United States is it is so akin. And this is why I read yesterday Victor Davis Hanson's article about the Sovietization of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the parallels between what happened when the communists took over Russia and what is happening in the United States of America right now, you cannot overlook them. They are right there for anybody to see. And I'm going to tell you guys this again, with all of my heart and all of my soul, please watch The Last Tsars on Netflix. Please watch The Russian Revolution on Netflix. And for a comical look at what a screwed up country the Soviet Union was, watch The Death of Stalin. It's got an all-star lineup of actors. It's funny as all get out. It's not a kid's movie, by the way. I know the drill. Smile and try not to call them. Yeah, it's not for kids. It isn't a kid's movie. But you need this background, okay? You truly, truly, truly need this background. And, you know, look, I am a conspiracy theory person under the following condition, that there is evidence to support the conspiracy. I am a conspiracy person as long as there is evidence to support the theory. I mentioned yesterday, Sons of Sam on Netflix. I think Maury Terry did a pretty impressive job. Was he right? I don't know. He convinced a DA that he had some meat to work with. You know, people think you're crazy until you actually start producing evidence and affidavits and depositions and photographs and videos. And then all of a sudden, you're not crazy anymore. You know, then you're simply eccentric. But I guess, you know, this is, this is bothering the hell out of me. It's been bothering the hell out of me all day. I mean, since yesterday, since the weekend, actually, this has been bothering me. First of all, the biggest thing is the COVID weight gain. And the second thing is because I'm sleeping on my couch so I can have quality time with my cat in her final year, which is turning into years, I'm not complaining. Well, not really. But, oh, my God. Guys, you know what it's like having a 19-year-old cat? Every hour on the hour, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., meow, meow, feed me, and I feed her, and she wolfs it down. She's hungry. That's when she wants to eat. It's like I feel like you did when your kids came into this world. Like, I exist for the comfort and convenience of my cat. But I love her. I mean, she's been a part of me since 2003. So you do the same thing. So, yeah, I'm a little bit tired, you know, and I think I could use some whiskey right now. But I can wait, Pasquale. It's all right. You don't have to make a run for me. I mean, you could be there and back in 15. I could wing this by myself if you needed to. You know, I'll give you the credit card. It's all right. You can do this. But I started off yesterday reading an article. Yes, I can read. Thank you, Brighton Elementary and Mrs. Goldberg. I read an article from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons regarding vaccinating college students. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us start off with a very simple idea. If college students are at very low risk for COVID death, your 12, 13, 14, and 15-year-old is at even lower risk of morbidity, death, and destruction from COVID-19. There is a vaccine. It has been approved for emergency use authorization. Please tell me where the emergency is for college students and younger kids. There's no emergency in inoculating young people for whom there is no COVID emergency with an emergency use authorization only drug makes no logical sense. It's all about continuing, and I talked about this yesterday, you're going to get more of it today. It's all about continuing the fear narrative, all right? Look, fear is a very powerful, stupid, and senseless thing sometimes. Sometimes fear is good. Dude's coming at you with a knife, running, that's a good thing to do. Dude's coming at you with a gun, charge the guy with the gun. That's my theory anyway. It's good to be fearful under certain circumstances, but way back in the 1930s, there's this guy named Orson Welles. He was a genius beyond acclaim. And he put on a dramatization of H.G. Wells, no relation, The War of the Worlds, and was on the radio in the 1930s. And fear was irrational. This is a great demonstration of fear. Because people were listening to the radio, the Mercury Theater of the Airwaves, and they had this play on about the Martians landing in New Jersey and then marching incredibly rapidly with great speed upon New York City. And people bought into it because they put their reason on hold. They gave in to the emotion of fear like many of you are doing with COVID-19. All right. Now, they claim people committed suicide listening to Orson Welles and The War of the Worlds, but I don't know that that's actually true or not. Might be one of those urban legends, whatever. But there were, and you can listen to this online. Just go to YouTube or whatever, or just punch in on any of your favorite search engines, War of the Worlds broadcast. Listen to the broadcast. Count the number of disclaimers that were read during the play. It didn't matter. People, this is so important, people did not listen to the rational facts. This is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds. They didn't listen to that. All they focused on was a fear. The damn Martians are coming. And holy cow, how did they make it from Grover's Mills to New York City in 5 minutes? That's amazing, especially with crosstown traffic. But fear is huge. Now, emergency use authorization. Ladies and gentlemen, show me the emergency with college students and COVID. Generally speaking, and there will always be exceptions. Statistical outliers. There will always be exceptions to this. There is no rational basis where anybody can say college students are under a COVID emergency. And there's even less to support the idea that younger kids are under a COVID emergency. Since no emergencies exist for those demographics, how in the world Can they start talking about mandating vaccines for students for whom there is no emergency? And I heard yesterday on one of the networks, I won't name the network, the mother of a 15-year-old who died of COVID 2 days after being diagnosed. You know what? I've been doing this for a few years. Once or twice a year, every city in which I have ever worked, once or twice a year, a little boy or a little girl died of influenza. It happened in 2020, tragically, right around these here parts. Could have been 2019. Little boy, before COVID, died of the flu. You can always find people who die who shouldn't die, whether it's the flu or whether it is COVID-19. And of course, when the FDA gave approval to start vaccinating your little kids, who in 15 years as their offspring might be giving birth to baby squid, you would think it was the best thing in the world. I'm horrified by this. There is no way I would ever say as a parent, yes, my 13-year-old is at grave risk of COVID, because the statistics don't show it. Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. There is no science to back this up. Why you would put an experimental drug into your children's blood when they have no idea whether your kid will give birth to a squid at the age of 30 is absolutely beyond me. When there is no logical reason to do it. Are you reading reports on 1,500 13-year-olds died of COVID today? 14-year-olds, we lost another 2,500 students. This is a nightmare. It's a national disaster. You're not hearing that. You know why? Because there's no COVID emergency for younger people. It is the older and feeble people, most of whom have already been vaccinated now. Like, I've been vaccinated. Joe Beamer isn't older, and he certainly isn't feeble. He's been vaccinated, but he's a big boy. He can make up his own mind. I think giving this vaccine to a kid is child abuse. I think it's child abuse. Unless your kid has some underlying condition that predisposes them to a bad result, I think giving a 12-year-old this experimental drug is child abuse. Oh, wow, awesome. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, Buffalo, New York, United States of racist America. That's what your kids are being taught in school with critical race theory. Your white children are responsible for every evil that has ever been perpetrated by the United States. In fact, you are personally responsible for every evil that has been perpetrated by the United States. Deal with it. That's the new unithink that is out there. Don't think it's going to be any different in private schools. Some of these private schools lure you in. Oh, you're sick of the liberal nonsense, the left-wing nonsense being taught in the public schools. Try us. Then you read the textbooks, you find out, wait a minute, y'all are just as bad. So anyway, leaving that aside, you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and this was actually brought to my attention by somebody much smarter than I, not too hard to find those folks, the Nuremberg Code. Now, you're familiar with the Nuremberg war crimes trials after the Second World War, you know, the one where the Soviets helped us sit in judgment of the Nazis, but nobody brought up the Katyn massacre as being perpetrated by the communists in the Soviet Union. That was conveniently overlooked. Cream of the crop of the Polish army, officer corps, priests were murdered ruthlessly by Stalin's communist NKVD in Katyn. The Soviets said, oh, the Nazis did it, but it was proven conclusively the Soviets did it. Gorbachev finally admitted it in 1990. But anyway, communism is a great thing, man. It really is. I mean, if you like long vacations in Siberia, communism is exactly what you want. I guess we put ours in mine at North Dakota. But the Nuremberg Code put out ethical guidelines for research. Number one is that voluntary consent is essential. if you are being told that an exploratory drug, which has not been approved as safe and effective by the FDA, is a mandatory thing for you to go back to school, I would argue that is in direct contradiction of the Nuremberg Code. You're not giving voluntary consent. You're being compelled to get an experimental vaccine that nobody can tell you how long it's going to last, and nobody, by virtue of its newness, can say with 100% certainty that it's not going to mess up future offspring, that you'll even be able to have offspring. Nobody knows. I mean, the idea that 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, the idea that they are under an emergency from COVID is so wrong. It is such horse crap. I don't even know where to begin. And then, you know, you look it up online, right? COVID and young people. Well, the possibility exists that COVID can make younger people very sick and sometimes they die. Of what could that not be said? The common cold turns into pneumonia. Every year, certain number of kids die of pneumonia. Every year, certain number of kids die of seasonal influenza. You can put any disease you want in there, and you're always going to find a horrible story about a kid who dies before they've even experienced life. It's horrible. It's heartbreaking. But it is not an emergency. An emergency would be Mark Poloncarz is coming out today saying, hey, yesterday 200 teenagers dropped dead of COVID. 400 college students dropped dead of COVID. That's an emergency. This isn't an emergency. This is idiocy. This is lunacy. And I want to share with you, this is very important because, look, I'm just an idiot with a microphone, okay? I'm an idiot with a microphone. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I'm going to read this bad boy again from April 24th this year. Open letter from physicians to universities allow students back without COVID vaccine mandates. Dear deans, governing boards, and trustees, on behalf of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, I'm writing you to ask you reconsider your new policy mandating COVID-19 vaccination of students prior to returning to campus. Institutions of higher learning are divided on this issue. Although at first glance, the policy may seem prudent, it coerces students into bearing unneeded and unknown risk and is at heart contrary to the bedrock medical principle of informed consent. Remember that Nuremberg thing I just read a couple of minutes ago? There are multiple reasons to reverse your policy. I ask you to consider the following. In other words, here's why universities should not mandate your kids get vaccines before they go back on campus. Number one, young adults are a healthy and immunologically competent and vibrant group that is at extraordinary low risk for COVID-19 morbidity and mortality. Does that mean no risk? No, it does not. Everything in life is risky, but they are at extraordinary low risk for COVID-19 morbidity and mortality. Therefore, making them be vaccinated makes no scientific sense. Who says it? A bunch of doctors, not me. College and university students, however, are under significant mental health strain already from COVID-19 fears, circumstances, distance learning problems, and the imposition of government health policy restrictions. Number three, even though the FDA granted emergency use authorization for three COVID vaccines, they are not FDA approved to treat, cure, or prevent any disease at this time. Clinical trials will continue for at least 2 years before the FDA can even consider approval of these vaccines as effective and safe. Number four, the COVID vaccines on the market in the USA have caused notable side effects, pathology, and even death. Number five, college age women may be at unique risk for adverse events following administration of the experimental COVID vaccinations currently available. Life-threatening blood clots subsequent to receiving J&J reported so far in the U.S. occurred in younger women. Irregular menstrual cycles. Always wanted to buy those, but thought a Harley looked better. Number six, recent research data demonstrates that the spike protein present on the SARS-CoV-2 virus and the induced primary mechanism of action of COVID-19 vaccines are the primary cause of disease, infirmity, hospitalization, and death. Number seven, students who've had self-limited cases of COVID-19 already possess antibodies, activated B cells, activated T cells. This durable, long-term immunity would not only prevent them from getting recurrent COVID-19, but would also represent herd immunity to protect others in the college or university community. COVID-19 convalescent students may be harmed by college and university policy requiring COVID-19 vaccines. They already have extensive immunity and will likely be harmed from a forced confrontation with COVID-19 vaccine-induced spike protein causing autoimmune reactions, leading to illness and possible death. Number nine, students and their families may justifiably believe these mandatory vaccine policies discriminate against individuals who aren't candidates for this vaccine, have pre-existing conditions, previous COVID-19 disease, cite religious objections, or are otherwise exercising their free will not to participate in this optional vaccine experiment. Now, here's the money shot. I've been talking about this for weeks. Refer to the Nuremberg Code from World War II, which requires individuals to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a lawyer, but if they say you must take an experimental drug to go to school, I think you've got a hell of a lawsuit. Number 10. Institutional policies that permit faculty to choose or refuse vaccinations, but do not allow students the same options, raise equal protection constitutional issues. I believe that would be the 14th Amendment. Number 11, the ADA, Americans with Disability Act, requires reasonable accommodations be provided based on an individual's own unique health situation. This includes rejection of an experimental vaccine intervention, which may exacerbate known health problems and thereby cause harm. By the way, what is the first element of the Hippocratic Oath? First of all, what? Do no harm. Colleges and universities should consider whether they might be liable for damages, poor health outcomes, and loss of life due to mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policies. What if your kid gets the vaccine, dies, they trace it to the vaccine? Is the college or the state going to be on the hook? Not even sure if you'll have any legal recourse. Positive cases, as defined by lab testing alone, may be false positive testing errors or asymptomatic infection that is not clinically proven to spread disease. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, asymptomatic infection is not clinically proven to spread disease. I can almost see Facebook's fact checkers' heads exploding right now. Ambulatory outpatient early treatment for SARS-CoV-2 infection, COVID-19, has been demonstrated effective in adults. Finally, informed consent is the standard for all medical interventions. The FDA fact sheet for the healthcare provider reads, quote, "The recipient or their caregiver has the option to accept or refuse vaccine." Please reverse your decision to mandate experimental COVID-19 vaccines before more students are harmed and make the vaccines rightfully optional. Both unvaccinated and vaccinated students should be permitted on campus. Thank you for your time and attention. Blah, blah, blah. Signed, Paul M. Kempen, MD, PhD, President of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a doctor. These people are doctors and surgeons. What have they said? This is experimental. And they also cite the Nuremberg Code, which says you aren't to be compelled to take experimental stuff. You can't be coerced. It violates one of the most fundamental precepts of medicine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no emergency of college students having COVID. Yeah, you know what? Some college students have died. I've told you from the beginning of this, there will always be statistical outliers, just like every single year kids die of the flu in America. We had a case within the past 2 years, and a lot of cases before that, of kids who get the flu, and for whatever reason they don't make it, they die. It's tragic, it's horrible, and it's the same thing with COVID or anything else. Get an infected heel and die from that. It happens. Medicine is an art, and it's also a science. And this vaccine, so-called, is experimental. Why in the world would you give your 13-year-old daughter or son an experimental vaccine that is emergency use authorization only when there is no emergency in that age group? I got the vaccine. I had bad side effects from the vaccine. Not as bad as the shingles, but I got to tell you, my feet swelled up like two balloons. You know, that would be actually a good song lyric. I wonder if anybody's ever used that before. All right, 803-0930, star 9. I think it's insanity to have a 12 or a 13 or 14 or 15-year-old have an experimental drug put into their body when, by virtue of its newness, you can't say that, hey, your daughter turns 30, congratulations, you're the grandparents of a baby squid. Can never go wrong with squid, by the way. Folks, I'm a dumb radio host. Have I had some medical training? Yeah, we had to learn in massage school. I mean, massage school was almost like year one of medical school, but I would be totally out of my element, all right, to proclaim any special knowledge of medicine. I would be killer in a trauma surgery situation. That stuff doesn't bother me. Look, intestines, ooh. But the American... The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, they are expert. I'm not. I've simply read what these experts have written about an experimental drug that is not approved as safe and effective by the FDA. And I'll say this one more time, and you probably are sick of hearing it, but I received the vaccine because I am in an emergency group. I have a crappy heart. I've got a whole bunch that's wrong with my body. I could spend the next 3 hours saying, hey, then there's this. Oh, yeah, then there's this. Then there's this. And no, genital warts would not be included. But I'm just telling you, I got the vaccine. I don't regret getting the vaccine. I'd do it all again. And I'm going to go for the second shingle shot despite what the first one did to me. A temperature of well over 105? That's serious. But I'm going to do it again because I don't want shingles. Let's go to Eric in Buffalo on WBEN. Shoot.
Hey, Tom, just want to say I love the show. I have four children, and me and my wife agreed none of them are getting the vaccine. And I was really shocked to hear that SUNY and CUNY schools are going to require it for students in the fall. Yet, earlier today, Cuomo announced that faculty and staff are not required, but they're urged to get it.
Yeah, because they're protected by unions. Students really aren't.
Exactly. And I thought that was unbelievable. I told all my kids one leaves for college in another couple of years, I said, get out of New York State. Don't come back. I said, give us a place to visit. It's just unbelievable. And the only three states that are requiring it for their public universities are California, New York, and Massachusetts. Go figure.
Well, there's nothing to figure. There is nothing to figure. This is insane. I think if you're a parent and you put this experimental drug into your 12-year-old, you are committing child abuse.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I don't know what it's going to turn into, but I said absolutely not. I said I want them to grow up happy and healthy, and this virus it's not a threat to them. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, look, hey, my daughter is not getting the vaccine. She has comorbidities. She's not getting the vaccine. She's educated. She's an attorney. She wants kids someday. She wants kids. She does not want to produce a litter of squid.
I couldn't agree with you more. But yet, if you point to science to prove that these kids don't need it, we're looked at like we're wrong, like we're not following this.
No, no, we're following the science. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, I'm sorry, that's pretty reputable. And they're saying these college vaccine mandates are horse crap. And therefore, even younger kids, it's even deeper and smellier horse crap, complete with hay sticking out of it.
I agree, and I love the show. Keep up the fight, man, and you got a lot of supporters.
Yeah, I thank you kindly. I appreciate that very much. It is 2:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and there's no inconsistency here. I'm in a high-risk group. I did the calculus. It made sense for me to get the vaccine, okay? It did. I would do it again. Anybody in my situation, if I talked to them, I'd say, hey, I think you really ought to get this. I think my daughter ought to get it. But I'm not going to out-debate her on that issue, and I think she makes a very compelling case.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.